From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Well, here we are, finally. We're mercifully on the last day of the worst month the Creator ever invented. I've always hated November. It got worse since my old Uncle Jack from Cleveland died many years back, thereby bringing to an end our annual early November muskie hunt. The worse the weather, the better was Jack's attitude. In November, rarely let the two of us down. Jack sitting near the bow, chewing on his wad of tobacco, all bundled up, and me at the stern and on the verge of freezing to death in what was usually a hard and cold rain. November sets out to kill us. I truly believe it. On the first day of November last year, for example, I was reminded of that by having a stroke. Nice start. The clocks go back an hour in November, which has us going to work in the dark and coming home in the same. There is usually no snow in November, this year being a record exception here in the nation's capital, which ensures no light is reflected to brighten any day. That's why they have the deer hunt in November. If you're a hunter, you appreciate the break from November's gloom and the camaraderie of the hunt camp, many of which are nicer and better outfitted than many homes. The only good thing about November is that there are no black flies, but that's it. November, by the way, is a month auto-body repair shops in our rural parts do a very brisk business repairing cars that hit wildlife because of the dim light and because the animals are on the move. My one and only deer, I bagged it with my old truck. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. He is Stephen Labadie. Fresh. Worth repeating, fresh.
From Mexico.
Off of his Mexican adventure, which he's going to fill me in right after we get off the air.
Well, we can say it on the air.
I don't mind. It's you. You seem to be embarrassed about it.
No,
it's
just the casino thing that was kind of...
Was it embarrassing?
We lost 680.
No.
Pesos.
So oh,
40 bucks.
What do we got? Oh, we have our time to play it safe.
Yes.
Because I didn't hear the usual Bradley Schlorf little bumper there, no. So I'm not used to that. That means, that's right, Bradley is off winging his way south.
Yes.
Or walking, knowing Brad, or driving.
Mowing the lawn.
Saving a couple of pesos. Riding the lawnmower. Him and his lovely wife are riding a lawnmower down south. Anyways, filling in, as he usually does when Brad is not available, is Inspector Chris Whaley with the Ontario Provincial Police. Good morning, Chris. How are you, bud?
I'm great, Ant. How are you this morning?
I'm feeling fantastic. I have my partner here back behind the glass. He's been missing for 2 weeks. So I'm all pumped now. I'm going to get the goods. I'm going to get the story on what happened down in Mexico.
When he was gone, were you still able to work, though, right?
Oh, I managed.
Like, does he contribute so much that when he's not here for a couple of weeks, does everything stop turning?
No. Yeah. You want to know the truth?
Yeah, I
do.
I absolutely do.
I'll tell you. I'm glad you brought this up.
Time
I like
break.
That. This is good, because what happens when he's gone, of course, we have our other we used to have, both these guys used to be technical engineers on this program when they started with this company. And it's always refreshing to bring guys like Joe back on for a day or two, because it's a real throwback for me, right? And so the only way I can describe it, working with Joe and Mike on the program is uneventful.
What are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying it's, there's a certain element of peace and calm when you're working. I don't know.
You call me crazy?
Call me crazy. That's just the way it is. You know what I mean, Chris?
Okay, but we should build up young Steven here before we move on again, though. Oh, we don't want him to think like that he's, easily replaced.
God forbid we do that. I mean, you can't even do that nowadays. Just the thought of it. He's going to have all kinds of problems.
Yeah, you're hurting my feelings over
dealing
here.
With it.
I have to go to human resources.
Exactly. Anyways, nice to have all of you back. Nice to hear your voice again, my friend. Always a pleasure having you on the program. It is, you know, we'll call it the festive season is quickly moving upon us. Does it consume your life and the OPP, the rest of the officers and the whole department this time of year, because the inevitable is going to happen, and that is, I'm sure, the ride program. If it's not already in place, it's soon going to be.
Yeah, we're all pretty alive to that. Of course, our festive ride program is indeed underway and remains underway until January 2nd this year. Impaired driving is still the leading criminal cause of death. It's one of the most significant contributing factors in crashes, period. In the last 10 years, just in OPP patrolled highways, we've had almost 700 people killed by impaired drivers.
Wow.
So a lot of people don't realize the magnitude of this problem. So on average, there are 4 people in Canada killed every day by a drunk driver. So, yeah, wow. We're all pretty engaged in the festive ride piece. I mean, just by the nature of what I do on a daily basis at our general headquarters, I'm not the one out there doing the ride, standing out in the cold and the snow and actually engaging the public. But our frontline officers across the province certainly are.
Yeah, he's chilling in his office watching TV.
Don't make him sound like you did. No, and of course, you'd like to be back out there. I mean, that's what... I would.
I'm very domesticated now. I'm a house cat now. But
Hey, Chris, tell me a little bit about... I've been reading about the secondary tests. Aside from the normal, blow into the little tube thing, you guys are also screening saliva tests now. You're using another form of analyzing this whole impaired thing?
Yeah, it wasn't long after cannabis became legal that the police got a new tool to help detect drugs. So now they can use a saliva test at the roadside to detect for either cannabis or cocaine. The public needs to know that there's a number of ways that the officers can determine impairment. So there's a standard field sobriety test. That's the one that you commonly see on TV where they walk the line and you touch your nose and things like that. There is the roadside screening device. So that's a little tiny one that the officer can hold right in their hand and implement at the side of the road. Then there's a breath test that you would typically go back to a detachment for. But we also have the saliva test now. So as most of your listeners would be aware, there was a recent change in legislation to allow random breath testing. So in the past, the officer needed to develop a suspicion. So I would either, maybe smell alcohol on your breath, or you would tell me, oh, I've only had a couple of beers. Well, that leads me to believe you have alcohol in your body and you're driving your car, so I could administer, the next series of tests. Police don't need suspicion anymore. They can test people randomly. So you might pull up to a ride program and the officer will ask you to provide a sample. And you might say, well, I haven't had a drink in 10 years. The law requires you to provide that sample. You have to comply with that. If you don't comply with that, you will be charged criminally for failing to provide a sample.
What brought that on, Chris? Obviously, there were some issues to make that change in our legislation. What brought that on?
Well, it is simply the magnitude of the problem. Like I said, we in Canada, 4 people die every day from impaired driving related crashes, and if you thought there were 4 people a day that died in Canada from West Nile virus, the response to that would be significant. People would be outraged that we're not doing more about West Nile virus. Well, this is something that we can have an influence on. And those random breath tests are intended to encourage people to make better decisions if they're going to get behind the wheel after they've consumed, a drug or alcohol.
Chris, what's the early report? I know, we don't have a long enough period at this point to be sampling, but so far in your estimation, has cannabis played a role in road safety out there?
It's hard to tease that piece of the data out of a bigger pile. So once cannabis became legal, there was certainly a great deal of attention for the police focused on how we're going to be able to identify drug impaired drivers and get them off the road. So the response to legalized cannabis has seen us use more tools and an increase in recognition of that type of impairment. So the stats would indicate that drug impaired driving has gone up, but that could be in relation to our focus on it because of the legalization. Do you know what I mean?
Well, before, I mean, you never even used to test for it, right? Really?
Well, we did. So what happens is when you get stopped at the roadside and the officer believes that you're impaired, they now have to choose a direction. Is it impaired by alcohol or impaired by drug? So we did have some tools at our disposal, but it was mainly we relied on an officer with really specialized training called a drug recognition evaluator. And they would take you through a series of tests that are far more detailed than just the, you know, touch your nose, walk the line. And then they would determine if they thought you were impaired by drug. Then they would still take a blood sample and send that away to a lab to be analyzed. So we did focus on that, but certainly not to the extent that we are now because it's been legalized, right?
Right, right. I don't know about you, but I'm still having a difficult time with that whole thing. Every time I hear stories about cannabis and the fact that it's free and easy and open and legal, I still like it's all so surreal to me.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
What I mean? It's just weird, man.
It is.
To me, it's, and I obviously not the guy qualified to make this comment, but if I was a serious user, had been all my life, I'd almost be disappointed now because when they decriminalize it kind of takes the whole edge off it, doesn't it?
I wonder how many stoners don't smoke anymore.
Exactly. I'm not doing that stuff anymore, man. I'm finished with that.
Yeah. Do coke like a grown-up.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be a wimp. Anyways, what else is happening, my friend?
Things are good in GHQ. Getting ready to leave for hockey. Got a full weekend of hockey with my young lad. Pretty gray sky out there, but still get a chance to get out and enjoy the sunshine when it comes around. Take the dog for a walk. Pretty good weekend here in Orillia.
As it should be. I thank you for joining us again, Chris.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Ange.
Inspector Chris Whaley of the OPP in the Orillia headquarters. He runs the shop up there.
Oh, yeah. He's the big fuzz up there.
Did you use the word fuzz?
The big fuzz, you know.
I haven't heard that since the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously? Oh, my God.